Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up! I want to dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Enjoying the Washington sunshine. No, really. I swear to God, the sun's out here in Washington.
You're lying.
No, I swear.
But we also have our other co-host on the air, Katrina. What's going on, Katrina?
Not much, just ready for another exciting week of social intercourse with you and Craig. That sounds horrible. That's why I said it.
I see. Well, it makes perfect sense, then.
Well, he did watch this interview, too, fucking last week, so. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, I guess you go ahead and do we have any news, or do you just want to jump into our topic here?
I don't think any news. There was
nothing, you know, like TNA.
All broke yesterday.
Yeah, WWE going to 3 hours for Raw. Yeah, there's no news this week.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, we can. Our topic is something I think Craig's actually brought up once or twice before, and that is talking about the in-your-house pay-per-views, and which were like the B pay-per-views, and they were like, wasn't it like 2 hours, basically?
It was 2 hours in like 1999, wasn't it? 1995 or something like that?
That sounds about right. They were about half the price, and half the price they are now. And, about 2 hours, real easy pay-per-view to watch. Usually, you got like six matches, maybe five, and it was plenty. And
I'm looking at the very first one, and I see double that in matches, and only one good match. And this lineup does not look like it's worth $20. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, it took a while
to see it in Diesel.
So which one?
I said you were not excited for Sid and Diesel.
Not really. I can't believe looking back at it actually went 11 minutes.
One thing on the show was when Sid did his live promo with Jim Ross. You remember that? And they're live, and they're and Sid's talking. He said, "Cut, let's do it over." Jim Ross says, "We're live, pal."
You should have made that a clip and put on the show. Go ahead and give the information on the first one here for whoever was going to do it, Craig.
Go ahead, Craig.
Okay, let me pull up my email here real quick. I'm also on the wiki page, so you guys want to do like every match, because there was like 28 of these things or something. I mean,
just the main matches. Anything?
Okay.
Just whatever catches their eye. You know.
Really, only one match a year I would like.
Yes, the one match that was very good at the show was Bret Hart and Hakushi is the one that that I remember.
Yeah,
yeah, I remember. That was an awesome match. I mean, it was far and above better than everything else on this show. Well, I mean, Davey Boy and Owen Hart were pretty good, but Bret Hart and Hakushi was just an awesome. Bret Hart was just having awesome matches after awesome matches with different people at this time.
I know he'd be having like awesome matches with like Jean-Pierre Lafitte.
Once he was a kid.
Yeah.
And, yeah. He had a string of
Hakushi was
really
pretty
good matches.
I liked Hakushi back in the day. He was a good worker.
Yeah. Yeah, and went on to, was it FMW he went on to? Or, anyway, I noticed that Bret Hart actually worked twice on the show, also wrestling Jerry Lawler on the sixth match. Do you remember the angle that caused him to work twice?
I think it maybe was maybe something with Lawler challenging Bret Hart, because they were saying like Bret Hart was racist or something against the Japanese. And then the Japanese, like, gave him some kind of an award or something, and Hakushi attacked him. And to get to Jerry Lawler, he had to go through Hakushi first. So I think that's what the deal was.
Also, in the semi-main, which sounds absolutely horrible, The Undertaker wrestled Kama, which, if I'm not mistaken, was the Godfather.
Yeah.
Was he Kama Mustafa? Or was he Kama the Ultimate Fighting Machine?
He was Kama the Ultimate Fighting Machine. He was Kama Mustafa when he became a Muslim in the Nation of Domination or something.
Yeah, this is when he was kind of doing like an early like UFC gimmick, actually. People forgot about it, but that's what it basically was.
He was like Fatu. It took him a few gimmicks to get something that would actually be worth something.
Right. And also in the main event, it says Davey Hart drew over Owen Hart at the 15-minute mark, which doesn't sound like much of a main event or draw.
His name is Davey Smith, but,
dark match after the show or something.
Who, by the way, Davey Boy Smith, today is the 10th anniversary of his death.
His kid had posted something on Facebook about that.
Yeah. In Your House number 2 was coming out of Nashville, and the main event for this one, they brought it back. The Undertaker beat Kama in a casket match. And casket matches
are
usually on
the paper. When I copied and pasted some of these, some of them were in italics, where that meant that they were like dark matches and not on the actual show. So I'm sorry if that didn't come through when I pasted it.
So this one probably was headlined by Bret Hart and the Pirate.
No, this one was headlined by Sid and Diesel.
Okay.
I thought they was bad bringing Undertaker and Kama back a second time, but she bringing back Diesel and Psycho Sid a second time in a Lumberjack match. Jesus Christ. At least they only went 10 minutes on this match.
Well, the month before, they had the big King of the Ring, where they had the tag match with Diesel and Bam Bam Bigelow against Tatanka and Sid. So, only 3 pay-per-views.
Wow.
I would like it noted that the opener of the show was Skip pinning Aldo Montoya.
And if people don't remember, Skip was Chris Candido doing like a fitness kind of fitness dude gimmick. I don't even know how to describe it. That's Sinny. And Aldo Montoya is, of course, just incredible, where he was doing some math gimmick that looked like a big jock strap on his head and had, like, he had some cool fireworks, but for his interest, that was about it.
Yeah, he was the WWE's answer to Hayabusa at the time, if that can even be said.
Portuguese man of war. Is what it was.
That sounds correct.
Yeah.
Okay. So number 3, can you tell me what the main event for this one is? Because this one actually did have the Bret Hart and the Pirate.
Well, wait. We skipped a very important match with Sean beating Jeff Jarrett in an awesome match for the Intercontinental Championship.
My bad. Going back to number two, yes.
I remember that one. That one was pretty fucking awesome.
This one where the horse debuted?
The Jeff Jarrett's horse?
Yes. I think this was the one.
I don't know what anyone says. That gimmick he had with the bright lights and the sunglasses and everything, that outfit was fucking awesome, dude.
The JJs, the J and the J over his glasses, they were huge, and up on his hat. And tremendous.
Well, when they spell his name out, JEFFJARRERT, double J. Sounds great. And I think he and Road Dogg quit right after this match.
I'll get on. Okay, so number three, I've got 10 matches. I'm guessing the main was Diesel and Sean beating Yokozuna and Davey Boy Smith.
Yeah, when Diesel pinned Owen Hart.
Yes. Anybody else confused?
Okay, they did the deal where they had all the titles on. This is the first time I've ever seen one of these matches. They call it the triple header where they had Sean had the IC title, Diesel had the world title, and Owen and Yoko had the tag team titles, and they were all in the line in the same match. So, and there was something, Owen Hart wasn't there. He hadn't shown up yet. So they put in Davey Boy Smith to substitute. And during the match, Owen Hart just happened to show up, and he tried to go after Diesel, and Diesel gave him a jackknife and pinned him to win the titles. And then the next night it was overturned because Owen Hart wasn't legally in the match. Because Davey Boy was in the match, so they got the titles back and then lost them the next night to the Smoking Guns.
Gotcha. And as you said, this was Bret Hart beating the pirate Jean-Pierre Lafitte. Was this the match where he... No, I think that was in TNA where he came off the post and splatted on the floor.
I don't remember. I don't think this was this match.
He did it might have been a TNA. He jumped off the post to the floor to do a senton, but the guy completely moved, and so he did a flat back bump onto the concrete.
That's one of the most ridiculous
things I've ever seen.
It doesn't sound like it would hurt too bad.
Oh, yeah. I think he was actually going by X at the time in TNA.
Yeah, he was doing an X Division gimmick, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Was he a mask guy or something like that?
Yeah, I think that was it. Also, notable people on this pay-per-view were Savio Vega beating Waylon Mercy, Blast from the Past, and also one of the only pay-per-view appearances by one and only Dean, I'll interrupt Raw, Shane Douglas.
Well, to go to Waylon Mercy was actually the other skyscraper, right? Danny Spivey. And wasn't he kind of doing, what the fuck was he doing, dude? He was doing
like
a Jack Nicholson gimmick or something.
No, he was doing the Robert De Niro, Max Cady gimmick from, what's the movie? Oh, God.
Cape Fear?
Cape Fear, that's it. Yeah, he was doing that kind of gimmick.
Okay. Yeah, I remember, because it was, I actually thought his interviews were pretty cool, but he looked like, He totally looked different than when he was one of the skyscrapers. That's what, you know, his body totally changed. But he was all right for a while, but he didn't last very long as Waylon Mercy after that.
Man, he was older. He went very good.
Coming to number four, need some help on this one there, Couture. What's the main on this one? I can't imagine it being Henry Godwin.
And Davey Boy Smith, the title.
So eight from the top, Davey Boy Smith beating Diesel via DQ. We had, again, Dean Douglas. He actually beat Shawn Michaels via forfeit to win the IC title.
Yeah, that was one of the cheerleaders picked him up in Syracuse at that bar.
That's right. Yes, the cheerleaders picked him up. And another blast from the past in the main event, or excuse me, the curtain jerker. Bob Holly pinned one Rad Radford, and hopefully you remember that name.
Yeah, Louis Spicoli.
Yes.
Wasn't that like your first little push, at all? I mean,
yeah.
It was just like, it was like a lifelong jobber, like kind of like a Barry Horowitz with Scott Lombardi for like the longest time. And then
he'd been in AAA though, and done some stuff in AAA. He was doing some stuff with like Eddie Guerrero and Art Barr, I think.
Right. And WWF brought him in and gave him the quote unquote grunge gimmick. And he was a pretty awesome worker. Too bad he's not with us anymore.
And so I heard Triple H speak part two. Is this part two, the do the right thing part two?
Yeah. Make a change part two. Whatever that theme music was. I think this had the debut of Goldust on there too, didn't it, against Marty Jannetty?
I don't remember if that was his debut, but that match was on there. But I'm sure that was an awesome match. I just don't remember it too much.
And that led to Marty getting his push with the New Rockers, as I kind of remember.
Yeah, it was in February of the next year.
Okay, and the New Rockers, of course, is Marty Jannetty and the one that yelled at Trayer.
Now, the next match sounds like a five-star a classic. You got Yokozuna and the fuck is DCO? Oh,
double count out of the ring.
Okay, against Mabel. That must have been like 1,000 pounds in the ring at that time. I'm surprised it didn't collapse like the Brock Lesnar's Big Show suplex.
Yeah, that match went 5 minutes and 12 seconds, which is approximately 5 minutes too long.
And apparently, you know, they had King Mabel and Sir Mo, and I guess Mo got promoted or something because he's a king now.
Well, good for him. We'd be one of these peasants. In your house, number five, the opener, I just have to read this. Xavier Vega.
Well, one last note from the other one. And one of the dark matches they had of a character that didn't last very long called Isaac Yankum. Isaac Yankum,
yes.
BDS.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Kane.
Which was Kane doing an Evil Dead type of gimmick.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, most dentists are evil anyway. So it wasn't much of a stretch.
And remember, Lawler had to kiss Bret Hart's foot, so he had to go to the dentist.
That's right.
He got his personal dentist, Isaac Yankum, DDS.
Yeah. Hey, why don't they give you the gas anymore? What's up with that? You got to request the gas. I'm thinking before I sit down, I want the thing on my face. I want to be gassed on my way sitting down. You know,
you could go to a head shop and you could buy these little things and you could put them in a little container that'll snap the end of it off. And then you can
kind of a thing.
Yeah. And then, you know,
that would require me going to
high spit for a little while.
That's the only thing good about going to the dentist is you get a little buzz for like 20 minutes. Anyway. Anyway, moving along to number five here. Of course, there's some greats on here. This one's very much worth mentioning. Ahmed Johnson pinned Buddy Landell in 42 seconds.
Yeah, he substituted for Shane Douglas because he had some sort of back injury. Shane Douglas didn't last long in WWF.
No.
He just, I don't know what the deal was.
He just had the wrong enemies at that time.
Yeah, and I mean, he didn't have the greatest.
Why did the critics hate him so much? I mean, what was the deal with that?
I don't know. Maybe they watched some episodes of ECW or something. He said something bad about him. I don't know. Maybe they were Flair fans.
Well, who isn't? Also, this one's very much worth mentioning. It sounds ridiculous, but it ended up being a heck of a match. It was the Arkansas Hogpen match with Hunter Hearst Helmsley beating Henry Godwin.
Hey, this match is awesome.
Yeah,
that was
fantastic. And then he like a hard way, like cut himself on the metal from the thing.
Yeah, yeah, on his back, he got all cut up. I think they pulled a rib and they took all those pigs and released them in Vince's office. Backstage.
Great.
I remember Jerry Lawler saying, "I just think Brown and there's not mud."
I don't know. I just got a text saying, what the fuck is the sound quality? Everything sounds fine to me. So if you're having any problems, I apologize. But the guy who did send me the text is a fucking asshole, so he's probably just fucking being a dick.
He's probably on dial-up.
Yeah.
Yeah. They basically had a hardcore match that led to a hog pen match where they actually brawled inside the hog pen. And yeah, it was actually really good.
I just to put something to rest, because I hear this shit all the time. People sound so stupid when they say it. Like when he got in trouble for the curtain call at Madison Square Garden the following year, people said, well, and then they put him in hogpen matches for a year. He had one hogpen match in 1995. That's the only one he ever had, you dipshit.
Right.
Your shit straight.
The main event of this show was awesome. Bret Hart wrestled Davey Boy Smith, and to say there was a little bit of blood in this match would be like telling somebody in the path of a tidal wave they're going to experience moisture. There was a ton of blood, and Bret gigged, but there was controversy, even in my living room, about how maybe he fell on a piece of the broken glass from earlier in the show. Anyway, this match was awesome, and Bret was bleeding like somebody turned on a faucet. This match was
When Bret wanted to, he was a good bleeder. There's a bunch of matches, like the one with Roddy Piper and a few other ones where he's just gushing.
I think this was the first color that was on WWF in like 3 years, I think.
Yeah, it had been a long time. It was even more so like a seeing color a couple weeks ago.
But even better than that match was had to have been the last dark match of the Smoking Guns, Hakushi, and Barry Horowitz beating the Belladonnas, Yokozuna and Isaac Yankum. And the Belladonnas were having one fitness dude, like Skip wasn't enough, so they made Dr. Tom Pritchard cut off all his hair and bleach it white, and
he was not happy about that, I know.
Dude, he had that long hair. Like, I started watching wrestling in like the 80s, dude. I remember him having the same hair for like forever, dude. And then he had it like cut it all off. And then he was only part of that team for like a few months, really.
Yeah.
But this was when they were giving Barry Horowitz was doing. It wasn't his first push because he actually got a push in Global doing like the win streak. But this is when the lifelong jobber Barry Horowitz. He used to give himself some high fives in the back. DDP kind of spelled his gimmick. Actually, like, beat Skip. And, like, it was, like, the biggest upset ever. And he actually got, like, a push and was actually on pay-per-views and main events or sub-main events for, like, a few months. And I actually enjoyed that program. I thought he was awesome.
Moving on to the next one.
Barry Horowitz deserves more praise than that, and I expect both of y'all to say something nice about him.
Yes, I will pat him on the back. Oh, wait, he did that himself. Anyway, Jake Roberts pinned Tatanka. That was the first match. The second match was absolutely ridiculous, well, at least the finish was. Razor Ramon pinned the 1-2-3 Kid in a crybaby match. The 1-2-3 Kid had to put on a diaper.
That was funny.
This really happened.
Yes. And he actually cried when he was doing it.
That's right. The main event was WWF champion Bret Hart beating Diesel in a cage match. And this was a pretty good match, I remember.
I didn't like the cage matches back then in the WWE because it was just the same thing over and over again, dude. Just running and trying to stop each other off the cage.
I think that SummerSlam match with Owen and Bret is highly overrated.
Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Really?
I mean, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
I love that match.
I think it got 5 stars. I don't think it's that good.
If they kept doing the same thing over and over again, it was like Bret's going to run up the cage and Owen's going to stop him. Owen's going to run up the cage and Bret's going to stop him. And it just went on and on.
Also, second from the top was Shawn Michaels pinning Owen Hart. So,
which I'm sure that was a hell of a match.
John had won the Royal Rumble, and he wanted a match with Owen Hart. You remember Owen Hart was taking credit for when he collapsed in the ring a couple of months earlier. And so he put his WrestleMania title shot on the line, and they had a match, and a pretty good match I recall.
That's when your daughter got worked, right?
I got worked. My wife got worked. We all got worked.
I didn't get worked. He wasn't hurt.
In the main event, I'm pretty sure that was like, I think that's the first time ever the Undertaker came out from underneath the ring.
You know, that's the one thing. They've done some hokey-ass shit with the Undertaker, but for some reason, it's always worked.
Yeah. I love when he died at the Royal Rumble that one year in 1994.
Isn't that when, like, he, like, rose up like an angel?
Like, yeah, that was some good special effects. Undertaker gets the benefit of the doubt all the time, so he can do whatever he wants.
This is In Your House 7, but they actually started naming them. And this was one of the first ones. This was the first one they named. It was called Good Friends, Better Enemies, and it was headlined by Shawn Michaels pinning Diesel in a no DQ match.
An awesome match. One of Diesel's best matches.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of his best matches, but, man, the main events back then kind of sucked because, goddamn, Diesel sure wasn't a whole bunch of them.
yeah.
I like Diesel back then. I thought he was decent.
Yeah, he's a good worker.
For a big dude.
Yeah, that was when he was physically at his best.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, before he started saying quads, you know, just walking across the ring.
Yeah. The next one was called.
He ripped the leg off of Mad Dog Vachon in this match, I remember.
That's right.
I've never seen that one before. He rips a man's leg off.
Left him hopping at ringside. Yeah.
Oh, man. And then there's the expression on the Mad Dog's face when he did it. That was just awesome.
The next one was a disaster, and they brought it back the following Tuesday, much like the Tuesday in Texas, as one Ed in San Antonio will know about. But anyway, the BRF Dog number one. I can't remember exactly when the power went off. I want to say that Shawn Michaels was in the ring.
No, I think it went.
I remember seeing Austin and Savio.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I didn't get to see this pay per view. I mean, not that I was. Most people didn't see it, but no, I just not actually like ordered the show or anything. I think only two matches aired on the live show because of the weather. And weren't they wrestling in the dark the rest of the night?
Yes, they did finish the show because they actually had footage of it on Raw or whatever, where they had these big spotlights in the ring.
Well, I ordered it, and I kept going back every damn 5 minutes to see what the hell was going on.
Right.
And then finally, like almost 2 hours later, I put it back, put it on there, and then the match is going on.
It was so ironic that we were talking about this since ROH had their Beware of Dog last weekend.
Ooh, that's true. But you know what? I watched all that show. It was pretty darn good. And the Lance match probably stole the show. Seriously.
What about Roderick and Finlay?
That was pretty darn good, too. I can't lie. But,
what did you think of the Ether finish?
It was okay.
Seems kind of out of place in that company, though, doesn't it?
I mean, yeah.
I about the wrestling and stuff. See, and I guess Jim Cornette came up with that one.
Yeah, I was okay with everything on this show, but anyway.
Yeah, unfortunately they had the problems that they had. Hopefully people give them a chance. And I just thought I just laughed my ass off at the butt hurt. The dude who was all butt hurt and made himself up to look like a douchebag.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to order none of this ghetto eye pay-per-view. They're going to have to speak to this shit.
Well, the picture on it right now is phenomenal. Of course, it's a week old. But the main event for this one was Shawn Michaels no contesting Davey Boy Smith in the main event. We also had other notables as Justin Hawk Bradshaw pinning Jake Roberts pinning Justin Hawk Bradshaw in 30 seconds. We had a casket match for The Undertaker and Goldust, which I remember was not very good.
How did Goldust beat the Undertaker in a casket match? I don't remember.
Mankind, I think, interfered because this is when they were doing Undertaker and Mankind.
Oh, right. Okay.
I think Mankind came out of the casket.
This was the time in between. Right after this pay-per-view, they did the four-hour Raw taping in Seattle. And if you go back and check out the footage of that time, one Craig Prober is sitting right behind Vince McMahon in at the announce booth for four straight Raws in a row. Which brings us to the international incident that I was at, actually. And this was in Vancouver, B.C., the main event. Vader, Owen Hart, Davey Boy Smith beat Shawn Michaels, Ahmed Johnson, and Psycho Sid when Vader pinned Michaels.
That sounds like it's probably a decent match.
It was a good match, as I remember. The fans went home, you know, unhappy, but, you know, what are you going to do?
That was when the Warrior, when they fired the Warrior and they brought Sid in.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
All right.
The Warrior who made his, like, then he showed up at WrestleMania and was gone, like, a couple months later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the night after this is when they did the four-hour string of tapings in Seattle. The very next night was the night it was Shawn Michaels' birthday, and Sunny, ended up in the cake. Shawn Michaels blowing his stack because they were on the wrong side of the ring. And there was an amazing brawl with Mankind and Undertaker all around the place.
Is that when Ron Simmons made his debut in that absurd blue outfit?
I don't remember if it was Ron Simmons, but I do remember Crush making his debut.
I think it was a tag team match. It was like Ahmed and Shawn against the Smoking Guns for the tag titles, and that's where Farouk made his debut with his Roman Coliseum or Gladiator.
Right. You are right. So, yeah, that was then, and then the night after that, we ended up in Yakima, which is over the mountains here, and watching the Superstars tapings and watch my buddy Matt Farmer get squashed by the Smoking Guns. So that was a fun time. Anyway, moving right along, the next one was one of my favorite pay-per-views of all time, and only because of this match. WWF World Champion Shawn Michaels beat Mankind in 26 minutes.
And I don't give a fuck what either one of them says. Mankind fucking jacked them in that match.
The what?
Yeah.
In the match, Shawn Michaels started fucking screaming at Mankind.
Yes.
It was about a minute later, Mankind threw a forearm right at his fucking head and nailed the shit out of him. And I don't care what either of them says. And he even told me himself on Nothing Is Ever Live that it was the worst. Bullshit, Shawn pissed him off and he decked him.
I remember, here's what happened. I remember he and Mankind were going at it, and then Shawn went up to he stood on the second rope and was fixing to come off, and Mankind just walked to the other, to the opposite end of the ring, and Shawn's saying, and looking like a dumbass, because he just goes over there and starts hitting him.
That was a spot that they had worked off of. If you remember the SummerSlam of that.
That's bullshit. It's not
2 years. No, it's not.
Okay, who cares?
Vader was in the wrong spot. Shawn jumps down and he yells at Vader, I said, move. And they planned that spot in the match to where Mankind would be in the wrong place. And they just did it as a gag.
Yeah. I doubt. But anyway, it was an awesome match. It was an awesome fucking match. I like when his leg was all fucked up, so he started jabbing his own leg with his spike.
I love that he had an awesome spot where he's trying to suplex Michaels, like outside, like off of the turnbuckles outside of the ring, and Shawn like shifted his weight and both of them went crashing through a table or something.
Yep. On the outside, it was awesome. That's before they started moving the monitors and being safe about the table spots.
This was when ECW showed up. You remember that?
Yep. and WWF for a while followed suit. And they were awesome there for a while.
I remember the Sandman and Tommy Dreamer and Paul Heyman were at ringside. Sandman goes with a beer and spits it in
Stubby. That was the one where the power went out. Wasn't it?
What?
That's the one where the power went out. Because they spit on Stone Cold.
No, they didn't spit on Stone Cold.
It was on Ringmaster. It was the Ringmaster. It was the
They were in North Carolina during that blackout. The ECW went in North Carolina. They were in Philadelphia for Mind Games. That's where it happened.
Yeah.
Well, I was doing a lot of heavy drugs at the time. I might have forgot.
Know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the very first match. It was in the first match. Justin Hawk Bradshaw was in a match with Savio Vega. It was a Caribbean strap match, and Sandman and Dreamer were in the front row.
And the next night, Taz jumped the rail with the Sabu Fierce Taz sign.
Yes. Anyway, when they
actually had the co-promoter Raw with the ECW and Sabu fucking busted his ass on the dive.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
I loved that Raw. I still have that on VHS somewhere. When the very first thing to come out was the Blue World Order, and Stevie Richards was on my TV, if you could believe that. Anyway, the next pay-per-view from the In Your House collection was the Buried Alive pay-per-view, and this came in October of 1996. Of course, the main event match was a Buried Alive match, The Undertaker beating Mankind.
I hate these Buried Alive matches. They're so stupid.
I'm glad you're not
going to one. Yeah. Didn't Terry Gordy was doing a mask gimmick and hit Undertaker over the head with like something to help Mankind with?
Yeah, he was the executioner.
Yeah, Terry Gordy is doing the executioner.
Although the visual was awesome at the end when they buried the Undertaker and his hand came up.
That's right.
You know, like the lightning struck or something like that.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was a good one, I guess.
This is also when Davey and Olin were just having awesome matches, like, every month with somebody.
Every month and all the time.
Yep.
I'm not stalling for time. I had to go get my plug-in for my computer because my battery's dying. Well, somebody could refer me for a second there.
Okay. I've never seen Terry. Come on.
Oh, I remember there was a tag match. There was a tag match. It was Vader and I think Jim Cornette against Sean and Jose Lothario, I think, was the match.
on that one?
No, not on that one. It was like. I think that was on the Raw, like before SummerSlam or something, is when that was. Because I remember Sid beat Vader on the show to get the shot at Shawn Michaels at Survivor Series, if I remember right.
Oh man, I just saw something that's on the next one that just totally caught my eye. Okay,
it's time. December 15th, 1996.
What's the time for?
It's Vader time, of course.
It was supposed to be the Vader was supposed to be the champion. That's why they named it that. But they brought Sid in.
That's right. So what caught your eye here?
The third match. The WWE Tag Team Champions Owen Hart and David Wickman is beating Razor Ramon 2 and Diesel 2.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good idea, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, it was the best idea. Man. You know what was the best idea is when they plugged the 900 line and they had Jim Ross screaming at the top of his lungs on Raw about how Razor and Diesel are coming back to the WWF. And I said, where's my phone? 99 cents a minute. I can handle that.
And then Jim Ross cut an awesome promo on WWF on that one Raw. That was awesome. That sounded almost uncomfortable listening to Jim Ross when he was doing that. It was
strange. Right. I mean, Jim Ross being a total dickhead for a couple weeks. That was awesome. Remember when he built his own little announcer table? It was out there with Dr. Death. That was so awesome, man. Too bad they didn't go with it, but Kill Jim Ross was awesome.
And we got also, I might have to start watching NXT now, since Jim Ross is going to do the show.
Really?
Because they had the tapings last night, and like a, it wasn't like the regular NXT. Apparently, it's like all the a shitload of the FCW guys were on there, like
Super NXT,
Steamboat and Seth Rollins, and all those guys were on there. So.
Huh.
Jim Ross is the commentator.
What the hell is an Armageddon rules match?
No rules.
Somebody got blown up.
You can only win by destroying civilization. I don't know.
I don't know what that is either. You guys missed the very, very first match. We had Rocky Maivia beating Salvador Sincere.
Johnny Gunn.
Okay.
I think he bought the Patriot gimmick from the Patriot.
Yeah, he is. He'll work fucking three matches in one fucking show. He'll work as Johnny Gunn, he'll work as Salvatore Sincere, and then he'll go back out as the Patriot.
He's a former ECW tag team champion with Tommy Dreamer.
Wow. That's right. Also on the
wasn't
second match.
Tom Zinke like a tag team? What was it? I forgot.
Yeah, remember they did like the Sharp Dressed Man vignettes when they were buying clothes?
Yeah.
They were gay.
It was kind of like a modern version of the Fantastic video.
Yeah.
This was a quite a time for WWF. At this time, you not only had Razor Ramon, two, but you had Diesel number two, but you also had people like Flash Funk pinning Leaf Cassidy in the second match on the show.
Hmm. Picture his buddy Leaf Cassidy. And you also got Brockus. You remember they used to talk about Brockus forever and ever, and then I don't ever remember seeing him having a match other than his thing in the Brawl for All where Savio kicked his ass.
I saw more of him in ECW, I think, than I did in WWF. Mm-hmm. There wasn't in ECW or something like that for a while.
Yeah. The next pay-per-view was interesting because up until, the main event was Bret Hart beating Vader, Steve Austin, and The Undertaker in a Final Four-style match. And it was kind of a nothing of a match until Vader got posted and busted open hard way. And then all of a sudden, it got awesome. Vader was bleeding all over the place. At one point, he went to remove his mask, but he couldn't get it over the huge gash over his eye and actually got caught on the hematoma. This was a heck of a match. Man, it was good.
Remember a few days earlier, Sean had lost his smile and had to give the title of it.
That's right.
It was for the vacant championship. I didn't like the match because it was battle royal style where you got to go throw somebody over the top rope. I don't never like that when titles on the line. So.
Yeah, fair enough.
I thought the best match by far was the best friend of Telefon against Owen and Daisy. That was an awesome match.
Yeah, that was
match.
A hell of a match.
Yeah, it only went 10 minutes, but yeah, it was a great match as well.
And
also, working his way up the card, Rocky Maivia pinned Hunter Hearst Helmsley in the fourth match.
Yeah, he had beaten him on TV like a few days before for the Intercontinental title.
Mm-hmm.
That's when everybody started turning on him.
And this is when the Nation of Domination was coming into effect.
That was the best. The people turning on him early was the best thing for him.
Oh, yeah. And I was one of them. I ain't going
to
lie.
It's almost
like
amazing to think where he is now to where he was back then.
Oh, yeah.
Strange.
Yeah, I was chanting for Cactus Jack to shoot on Rocky in the second match on a house show because I hated that guy. He was no good. And then he got awesome. The next one is called Taker's Revenge. It's from April 20th. Ed's favorite holiday, 1997. This was headlined by Steve Austin beating Bret Hart by DQ. And there are some names on the top of this card that Well, they just need to be talked about. The Sultan in Flash Funk in 2 minutes. Remember the Sultan?
Sultan was Farouk doing some kind of Egyptian math fucking pointy shoe iron sheet gimmick thing.
Did you say
he was managed by Iron Sheik and Bob Backlund?
That's right.
I remember right.
That's right.
This is actually before he got super fat.
Right. The Legion of Doom beat Owen Hart and Davey Boy Smith in the second match. And Savio Vega beating Intercontinental Champion Rocky Maivia by countout. And this one, I need to go back to the witness. Jesse James and Rockabilly in 646.
This is when Billy Gunn made his debut as Rockabilly, and they had him lose. He was the hometown man's protege. That was horrible.
You don't say.
Two guys right there that it's amazing where they went to. I mean, how popular they became after those gimmicks. As a team.
Oh, Rockabilly, I'd forgotten all about you.
He got his revenge on the next show, though.
Going to that.
Well, the Undertaker defeated Mankind in the title match. I remember this because it was an awesome spot where Taker had the steps and Mankind was standing on the apron, and he went and threw the steps into Mankind, and Mankind just did a dive right through a hole in one of the tables.
That's right. Yeah, he wore the table like a necklace.
That was awesome. And then he burned the shit out of Paul Bearer with some fire. It had made Paul Bearer's skin tone color come back. He was no longer pale after that. And he really stuck it up in his face. He had all that flash paper, and God, literally burned the shit out of him.
Wow. Goodness. Next one, May 11th, 1997. A Cold Day in Hell.
Actually, an awesome name for this show, considering the main event.
Well, as Ed stated, the Rockabilly got his heat back by pinning Jesse James in 3:36. Hunterhurst Helmsley on the mend, pinning Flash Funk in 10 minutes and 5 seconds. This must have been around the time where I saw that house show match, Mankind beat Rocky Maivia. Rocky Maivia via decision. And then for some reason, there are 3 Ahmed Johnson matches on this show.
He was running the gauntlet of the Nation, and then if he won, then the Nation had to disband.
Oh.
I'm surprised they didn't make it a 4-match and throw him like a PG-13 in there, too, because they were the best part of the Nation of Domination. That fucking song was awesome.
Yeah. So Ahmed pinned Crush, which I really need to go back and watch that thing.
Crush kind of lost some weight. He was kind of like he was at his smallest at this.
But then after he got out of Clarence Mason got him out of jail.
That's right.
Yeah. Remember, he had been in jail legit for like steroids and weapons charges or something.
Oh yeah, that's right. They raided his shit in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came back with the tattoo, quote-unquote, on his face before the DOA formed.
Steve Carino was playing a fan on Raw. He beat the shit out of Steve Carino.
Really? I don't remember this. I'll have to go back and watch this. Okay, so Ahmed Johnson pinned Crush. Then Ahmed Johnson beat Savio Vega. And then Farouk ended up pinning Ahmed Johnson in 2 minutes, by the way.
And it was actually after this, later on, like a couple of months after this, they had it with all these non-black dudes because they just made a totally black Nation of Domination. They got rid of Savio, everybody.
And Crush.
Yeah.
And they made their own gang, so you had the white supremacist biker gang with Crush and the two legitimate fucking racists in the Harris twins.
Yes.
And the fake Undertaker.
Right.
And,
remember when they wore their SS shirts on one of those TNA weekly pay-per-views?
Oh, that's right. It's funny, we were talking about that. We were talking about those weekly pay-per-views last night when I was over at Brian's. I was like, dude, you used to come over to my house every week. You used to drive from Bothell every week to watch a pay-per-view that cost $10. Yes.
Speaking of your appearance last night, way to play the show, Craig.
Dude, I didn't even get on the show. I was shouting.
Are you one of those Brian and Vinny last night? Or you were just there physically?
I was there physically because this is a news flash for everybody. Brian doesn't know anything about music. And so I packed my guitar up, and I didn't have to work today, so that was a bonus as well. So I went up there with Vinny and showed him what I would do on the song. And then he gets on mic to do the song live, and he goes, okay, I'm going to count to three, and then we're going to start. And I said, no, why don't you play through the chords one time, and then Vinny can jump in, you know, like they do on every single song everywhere. Oh, that's a good idea, Craig. And anyway. So, yeah. Newsflash, Brian doesn't know about music.
I didn't listen to a Brian and Vinny show in about a month.
Yeah. This one was, it was funny. And I'm sorry I didn't plug the show. Next time I'll shout over Brian off mic. Listen to Over Top Radio. Anyway, getting back to A Cold Day in Hell. Ken Shamrock beat Vader via submission.
Don't worry, hurry him back to save the show.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were
wrong. Somehow Blackrock kicked me out. I was like, I didn't hear you guys talking for a second. I thought I offended you guys or something. So I clicked on the switchboard and it said there was some kind of problem and I needed to call back in.
Was this the first match after Vader got at a jail in Kuwait, maybe? I don't remember.
Might have been.
What did he got thrown in jail because he grabbed the reporter by the tie and kind of was getting in his face?
Well, they
right?
got those weird, you know, cultural laws and shit over there. You grab right. some, like an Iraqi, and you get, like, taken to jail for 5 days or something.
Yeah. Poor Vader. Then he falls down on national TV. Anyway, WWF World Champion Undertaker pinned Stone Cold Steve Austin in 20 minutes and 6 seconds. I would imagine that was the main event.
Yeah. And I think I remember the Hart Foundation was at ringside or something like that. They bought tickets.
Okay. And I think that will lead us to the Canadian Stampede. Yes, as a matter of fact, it does. As I scroll down, the Canadian Stampede, this might have been my favorite pay-per-view ever.
I put this in the top 10, maybe even the top 5 of the best pay-per-views WWF ever did.
Yeah, this was one to go out of your way to see. This was phenomenal. Might as well run down the whole card. Just 5 whole matches on it. The Godwins beat the Blackjacks when Phineas pinned Wyndham. We had Mankind going to a double countout with Hunterhurst Helmsley. And then we had the match. The Great Sasuke pinned Takamik Chinoku in 10 minutes. And one of the most amazing spectacles I've seen in quite some time.
I think Taka got a job out of that. It's supposed to be for Sasuke, but Taka got the job because he's a little bit better in that match.
Yeah, because they were pushing Sasuke for a few weeks. Like he was the one that they were going to bring in and focus on as the lightweight or the crew, whatever the fuck they were at the time. But Taka's the one they got more over in the match.
Yeah, this was an awesome match, and as I remember, they brought it back the next night on Raw as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Match number 4, the WWF World Champion, The Undertaker, pinned Vader in 12 minutes.
This was when Paul Bearer was threatening him with the secret of his brother, Kane. He was going to tell everybody he murdered his brother and his parents.
What a jerk. And in the main event, something you have to see. Brett Owen Jim Neidhart, David Boy Smith, and Brian Pillman beat Steve Austin, Ken Shamrock, Goldust, and the Legion of Doom when Owen pinned Austin. This match was amazing.
It was okay.
I kind of felt the same way like last year during the Money in the Bank pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
With Punk against John Cena.
Yeah.
Kind of had that atmosphere
I got
to
you.
It.
And really, one of the only appearances of Brian Pillman for kind of too bad. I mean, he didn't have much of a run in his.
Well, he was doing good as a wrestler. I mean, after that accident, I mean, he was just hurt watching him wrestle because he just wasn't who he used to be. So.
Mm-hmm. Next one came in September of 1997. This one was called Ground Zero. We had Goldust getting pinned by Brian Pillman to win Marlena for 30 days. Apparently, Kujak was the real winner here. Insert joke here. I think I've told you about the time where I saw Goldust and Pillman on the road, and I heard the craziest spot ever when Brian Pillman said to Goldust, "Kiss me." That was the spot.
That was as good as I remember at like one of the pay-per-views. It was Ken Shamrock and Ryan Shamrock was out there, and Ken Shamrock just goes, "Slap me." So she slaps him. The spot in the mat, clear as day. You thought it was Sid Vicious or somebody.
And it was awesome. Goldust was in the mount on the top rope, raining down punches on Brian Pillman. At the ninth punch, Goldust rears back, and you hear Pillman go, "Kiss me," and so he did. So
that's when he won Marlena, and he kept sending these videos of, like, they were rape videos or something like that of Marlena in the bed or something with him or stuff like that.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that. Here's a blast from the past. In the second match on the show, Brian Christopher beat Scott Putski, who was dating one Missy Hyatt, as I remember.
He blew his knee on this match.
Yeah. Okay. He was like at this. He looked like a miniature Ultimate Warrior kind of at this time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was jacked.
Which Hyatt sucked.
And it was all genetics. It was all from his dad. It wasn't from steroids.
And Savio Vega beating Crush and Farouk in a triangle match when he pinned Crush. That sounds like
a horrible match.
Right, thank you. We had the minis coming in.
We had the match of the night. The former, damn, I forgot what his name used to be. Anyway,
Vasquez Sagrada. Vasquez Sagrada.
Yeah, Vasquez Sagrada, the original one,
mm-hmm.
who was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
You know, one of
them.
Match
where one of them went to ringside and jumped in Lawler's lap and put his crown on. I remember that.
They brought him in for a little while, but Max Mini pinned El Torito in 9 minutes and 20 seconds. I want to say the next night on Raw they had like a mini Mankind and a mini Vader and a mini Goldust.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
could have been one of
those minis.
Oh, yeah.
Than the regular midget.
And the thing is, they kind of made them. They made them do a lot of the American midget spots and made it like a little more comedy. If you ever like go and see like some of their main events from Mexico, where it's like Optic and Chito and Mascarita Sagrada against two of the other ones,
mm-hmm.
they're fucking some of the most incredible matches you'll ever see. I mean, pound for pound.
Oh, yeah.
Mascarita Sagrada was pound for pound for a couple of years. Was probably the best wrestler in the world.
I remember when I think it was Max Mini or somebody did a flying body press like off of the stage, the Raw stage, onto another midget. Was on the floor.
Yeah, was that on Shotgun Saturday Night that they did that spot?
I'm not sure. It was a show called Super Astros I watched back then.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It was like the Spanish language. Or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Buddy Wayne actually wrestled oh shoot, Due to the Red Hair Loco.
Efe Rios.
Efe Rios, thank you. Yeah, Buddy ended up wrestling him on that show. So anyway, just as a sidebar, go check out the AAA When Worlds Collide videos. You know, find it online or whatever. They have one of the greatest winning matches I've ever seen on that show. And the pay-per-view in general was pretty phenomenal. But anyway, match number five, the Headbangers beat the Legion of Doom, Henry and Phineas Godwin, Owen Hart, and Davey Boy Smith in a fatal four-way.
For the tag team titles. Steve Austin had to, and Mankind had to give them up, or Dude Love had to give them up because, you know, Steve had that neck injury. Oh, and this is where he gave Jim Ross a stunner.
Okay.
He gave Jim Ross a stunner that night. The next night he gave Sergeant Slaughter a stunner. Then he got a temporary restraining order from Owen Hart to stop him from attacking him, and Jerry Lawler was reading the restraining order over his shoulder, and then he gave Jerry Lawler a stunner.
Right.
And he gave Vince a stunner.
Well.
A lot of stunning.
They all had it coming.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, if you ask me. I don't know what to think about this match, but I kind of remember it, and I kind of remember hating it, because the WWF World Champion, Bret Hart, beat the Patriot. Del Wilkes, I'm imagining, in 1920 by a submission. This sounds like it was no good.
Why does it sound
I'm
like
never a fan of the Patriot.
That's because you're a racist. You don't have American values.
I'm a racist against a white guy?
You're talking about me.
I was not know. I was talking about a turn.
And Shawn Michaels beat The Undertaker. He no contest at The Undertaker.
That was an awesome match, even though we went to no contest.
Right. Yeah.
I think this might have been the first time Taker did that dive over the top rope.
That sounds familiar.
I don't know. I think he's been doing that for a long time. He just didn't do it like in every match.
I think it was the first time he did it.
But this is when they started having their awesome series of matches.
Yeah.
Yep. This brings us to December 7th of 1997, the D-Generation X favorite. No, I didn't. Did really? No, I didn't.
You missed Bad Blood with the first Hell in a Cell match.
It's not on my email here, Katara.
Well, it happened.
I know it happened because it was awesome, but it's not on my email here.
Okay,
so
well,
you're going to have to read
that match
one.
Happened. I remember getting ready to watch the free-for-all for the show, and Vince McMahon comes on and says, Brian Pillman's been found dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a shitty way to start a pay-per-view.
Well, like I wanted to watch a pay-per-view after that.
Mm-hmm. But then...
But, I mean, and I'm trying to remember what matches were on there. Owen Hart won the Intercontinental title from Farouk in the tournament final. And really, the only other one I remember is Undertaker and Shawn in that Hell in a Cell match was awesome.
Yeah,
Hell in a Cell match was freaking phenomenal, especially when they were on top of the cage and doing spots on top of the cage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was awesome.
Some people didn't like the finish, but after all they had, with Kane, but after all they had been through, I didn't mind the finish at all.
No.
Made sense. So.
No, and Shawn digged himself from the top of his forehead to the tip of his nose on a slingshot spot.
I remember he gave Taker a pile driver on the steps. It was like a kill Taker.
Oh, yeah.
Hurt his head bounce off of the damn steps.
Even today, if you go to like eBay and try to buy this Bad Blood pay-per-view on VHS, it's still going to set you back like $60.
Damn,
that's absurd.
Yeah, it's on VHS. Anyway, this is an awesome, awesome match. And if you haven't seen it, go out of your way because they said...
This was about the time, Taker kept
you know, he used to have to wrestle all these, God, these big, shitty wrestlers for, like, years and years. And he finally got to wrestle, like, Foley and Brett and Shawn Michaels and stuff, and this was, like, a totally different guy.
Yeah, all of a sudden he went from a horrible worker to like one of the best workers in the business.
Yeah.
Well, I would imagine you could blame it on the guys that he was working with.
Yeah, I was blaming it on the guys he was working with. You're not going to have a 5-star match with Kamala or Sia.
Yeah, but he had pretty much a five-star match with Dave Bautista, and Dave Bautista ain't a good worker.
Yeah, that WrestleMania
was a very good worker. I put him above Lou Thesz.
Oh, man, somebody's going to get mad. Anyway, yeah, this is an awesome show, so check out Bad Blood. 2 Ds, by the way. Bad Blood. Anyway, next one, December 7th, 1997, the D-Generation X pay-per-view. From top to bottom, we got Taka Michinoku pinning Brian Christopher to become the very first WWF light heavyweight champion.
Don't you remember they had a tournament that lasted forever, and the people who were in the tournament weren't actually being here and, like, finished in the tournament? Like, I remember Tommy Rogers was in it, and he was, like, gone.
Hey, Tommy Rogers wrestled Bobby Fulton in the first round.
That's right. The Battle of the Fantastics.
And I think it was Devin Storm wrestled, like, Ace Darling. They were tag team partners. No, Jerry Lynn was in the brackets, but he had gone to ECW, so he never showed up.
Right.
That's about it.
Yeah, it was a mess. Didn't they have a couple of the luchadors on there as well? I want to say, I know they were in that Rumble, but I thought they had brought them to TV for a while as well.
Now, that would have been way before this.
That was when they were doing stuff with AAA, like at the beginning of the year or something.
Yeah.
97.
This was basically WWF trying to keep up with WCW's cruiserweight division at the time.
And it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
Not even close.
I remember they gave Scotty Tuhati had like a match, and I think there was some kind of screw up, and he actually lost when he wasn't supposed to.
WCW had like 20 like pretty damn good cruiserweight wrestlers, and WWF had like 3 or 4.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's too bad. Match number 2 was Miguel Perez, awesome.
Who did he wrestle?
I'm drawing a blank on how to say this name. It's pronounced Jesus, but it's not. It's spelled
Castillo.
Thank you. Jesus Castillo and Jose Estrada beat Chains, Skull, and 8-Ball. Good Lord.
Whenever you see the name Hope Suit, don't you just feel the urge to just scream, "Don't fuck with the Jesus!"
No.
Whenever I say Jesus, I feel like a cross-eyed big black man is going to come and attack me.
I see.
I just remember, what's that stupid movie? I can't think of his name. No, where they're like, John Goodman comes out in it. The line, I just put the line, don't fuck with the Jesus. And they're bowling, the one Mexican guy. His name is Jesus, but he keeps telling them.
In the same sentence.
I know exactly what you're talking about, Ed, but I'm drawing a blank too.
It's like I'm so embarrassed I can't think of the name of the movie right now. It's like everyone's favorite movie, pretty much.
Yeah. Kingpin?
Not Kingpin.
Not Kingpin. Anyway, moving
on. The dude.
Yes. The Big Lebowski.
The Big Lebowski. Jesus Christ, why did it take it so long to remember that name?
Oh, no.
I've never seen that movie.
Oh, it's amazing.
Actually pretty good.
And anyway, match number 3 was Butterbean beating Mark Mero in the 4th round of the Tough Man match. I don't have any recollection of this.
I remember because when Mark Mero was being main to Sable and Butterbean was at ringside, so and didn't like it and challenged him to a boxing match. He got off easier than Bart Gunn.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. The WWF Tag Team Champions, the Road Dogg and Billy Gunn beat the Legion of Doom via DQ. We had Hunter Hearst Helmsley. Scrolling down, Hunter Hearst Helmsley pinned Sergeant Slaughter in a boot camp match.
In 17 minutes.
Yeah.
Who did Sergeant Slaughter piss off that day? That's a long time man to be wrestling.
Yeah. Match number 6, Jeff Jarrett beat The Undertaker in just about 7 minutes via DQ.
When Jarrett was wearing his Aztec outfit.
Yeah. WWF IC champion Steve Austin pinned Rocky Maivia.
This was awesome. That's when he drove the truck in, and he, like, gave guys backdrops on the hood of the truck and gave D'Lo a stunner or something. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was pretty good.
And not to be outdone, Ken Shamrock beat Shawn Michaels via DQ. After the match, Hart hit the ring and bumped Shawn Michaels off the ring apron and through a table. This was really good. Shawn Michaels was at his juvenile, ridiculous worst at this point, and
running in the ropes and yelling clothesline.
Yeah. Another loud spots being called on this match because Ken Shamrock
is a fucking gatebag, man. But he was fucking talented, so whatever.
The next one was called Breakdown, and it was September of...
No, you're wrong.
Okay, well, that's what I got on my sheet here, buddy.
Okay, well, my mind is saying different, so... Anyway, the next one was No Way Out. It was in Texas, and
okay.
It was headlined by Steve Austin, the Road Warriors, and Cactus Jack, I think, against it was Steve Austin, it was Chainsaw Charlie, Cactus Jack, and Owen Hart.
Oh, okay.
Against the New Age Outlaws, Triple H, and their mystery partner, Savio Vega.
Savio Vega.
Because John had hurt his back, and his back was killing him, and I think they kicked him out for until so he could come back and do Mania. So they had that match. And I think Steve Austin won in the end and gave China a stunner. And they had a mask versus mask match for some god unknown reason. Vader against Kane. I don't know what Vader looks like without his mask.
Right.
The stupidest thing I've ever heard.
That main event match was fucking awesome, even without Sean. And
that was a hot match.
And the actual star of the match was actually Billy Gunn, because he was bumping around like a maniac the whole freaking match. He was awesome.
And I always thought Savio Vega was really good too. He's a good worker.
Yeah, he was always pretty good.
Okay, can I go on? Breakdown?
No, we need to go to Unforgiven. It's the next one.
Wow, you
must have missed it when I was copying faces. Must have missed it, but I got it all here in the vault, so we'll go from memory.
Okay, cool.
This was headlined by Steve Austin against Dude Love. Remember they teased that whole one role they were going to have Steve Austin against Vince McMahon? And Vince was...
Yeah.
He was warming up for 2 hours getting ready for this match, and with the Stooges about his side, and then Dude Love came out and for some reason attacked Steve Austin, and so he became the number one contender, so they had this match, and it ended, I think Dude Love was on the outside, and Vince McMahon was trying to help him up, and then Austin just got a chair and just fucking wiped Vince McMahon out with a steel chair shot to the head. And, kind of did his own little pinfall in that match. I was trying to remember what else. The other match on the show, the Rock and Roll Express against the Midnight Express.
Oh, wow.
Bombastic Bob and Bodacious Bart. You remember those guys? That was hideous.
That was fucking funny.
And they had China in a, they had Owen Hart against Triple H for the European title, and they had China in a cage at ringside. Remember, she bent the bars open.
Oh yeah. That's when she was jacked. That's when she was super jacked at the time.
Yeah, ending bars. Now she's just hitting bars.
So next month at Over the Edge in your house, they had remember they had Steve Austin and Dude Love in a rematch.
Yeah.
They had Vince as the ref, Pat Patterson as the announcer, and Gerald Briscoe as the timekeeper. This match was one of Mick Foley's best matches. This match was awesome.
Yeah, and then they were just awesome. The freaking Stooges at this time was one of the best things on Raw. They were some of my favorites.
They were great.
Whether they were the bad guys or the good guys, they were awesome.
They had these cars set up in the back, like near the set, and all of them had the Briscoe Brothers body shop and his phone number on the side of all these cars. And they said it's worth the drive. And they just beat the crap out of each other. And then I think Foley accidentally hit Vince with the chair, and so Vince was out, and Austin hit the stunner, so he just grabbed Vince's hand and did the 1-2-3 count. So, yes, this was also the first Inferno match. No, Inferno match was at Unforgiven the one before, and the Inferno match with Taker and Kane. So that was an interesting match.
It was a cool visual. I mean, they were never in danger of getting caught on fire, but I mean, it looked pretty badass the way they would. Whenever they would do a spot, the fucking flames would like shoot up all crazy.
Yeah, Kane had gotten out of the ring somehow, and Paul Bearer had gone to the switches that controls the gas for the flames, and he put them up so high that Taker couldn't get out of the ring, so Taker just did this big suicide dive over the flame.
Right.
It's awesome.
Yeah, that was crazy. And then I remember, I'll never forget the Inferno match where he said MVP's ass on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, continue, Craig.
Okay, now we got Breakdown.
September. No, now we got Fully Loaded in July of 1998. Fully Loaded in your house.
Were you stoned when you copied and pasted this thing? I mean, I could have done a better
job. It was a lot to copy and paste. I'm sorry if I missed something. I'm telling you what it is. It's my fault you guys came to buy yourself and remember this shit.
Yeah,
I memorized that whole thing last night. So, anyway, we had Fully Loaded, and the main event was Steve Austin and The Undertaker beat Mankind and Kane for the tag titles. Because remember, Kane, Austin and The Undertaker were going to... might have been SummerSlam the next month. So, they, of course, had to put him as partners. And they also had, this was the bikini contest with Sable and Jacqueline.
Mm.
Remember with the handprints on the breast?
Yeah.
I remember Jacqueline was dancing around so much, her boob popped out. It looked like a chocolate chip.
Right.
And, it was actually a really good match. It was 2-3 falls with Triple H and The Rock for the Intercontinental title.
Mm-hmm.
They went to, I think, a time limit draw, 30 minutes.
Yeah, the two of them were having good matches. That's when Rocky was really starting to get over as a, like, he was slowly starting to get a few cheers in his matches with Triple H.
Yeah, I think, you know, they feuded a lot. I think they helped get each other over, like, in the beginning there, because they feuded for so long.
Remember they had a ladder match?
Yeah, SummerSlam the next month. It was awesome.
Okay. Yeah, that's the one where like everyone hated The Rock, but when he did the people's elbow, everyone went fucking crazy for him, and then they went back to hating him.
There was one spot where the people's eyebrow got busted open. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, go to Breakdown.
Okay, good. We've got Breakdown in September of 1998. Golga and Mosh in the opener. Yeah. Remember the Oddities? Yeah, that's
I remember Golga with that formed thing in his mask. It was John Cena.
Uh-huh.
He
had the giant Cartman doll with him.
Yes.
That was odd, jeez.
I actually got to meet Kurgan in Vancouver one time. He was on one of Tim's shows. Nice guy you ever met in your life. He was so cool. Anyway, second match, Matt and Jeff Hardy beat Men's Teo and Sho Funaki when Jeff pinned Funaki.
I'm thinking this is a show where they were in their little geeky plaid outfits.
Yep. And these guys.
Men's Teo, that's Terry Boy, isn't it?
What's that?
I think Men's Teo and Terry Boy are the same person.
Funaki's partner, that was Terry Boy, wasn't it?
Yeah,
he was a fan of Terry Funk or something, and that's why he named him Terry Boy.
Yeah, okay.
He was the one.
Why was Billy Gunn fighting the racist? Why was he fighting the racist in the triple threat match?
Eight Ball and Skull. In a triple threat match. That's a great question. And why did it only go 3 minutes? Well, I think we all.
What was the match?
8-Ball beat Billy Gunn and Skull in a triple threat match when he pinned Gunn.
I don't remember this.
Yeah, I don't either. But I bet you it was no good.
I'm thinking maybe this was... I don't know about that. I don't think that's right.
Match number 4 is Owen Hart pinned Edge.
Yeah, that was actually the real opener of the show. The others were dark matches.
Oh, okay.
Or we're on Sunday Night Heat. Because you remember they did Heat Live back then?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And, this was a really good match. I watched it a couple of months ago when they had the Edge DVD on Netflix. It was on there. I hadn't seen that match in about 10 years. This is when Christian made his debut. When he showed up.
On this match right here,
Owen Hart and Edge match. Because remember, Edge was feuding with Gangrel, and then Tristan showed up in his puffy shirt from the Seinfeld show.
I don't want to be a pirate.
Didn't nobody think it was like some kind of gothic thing? I thought that's the pirate shirt from Seinfeld the first time I saw that.
Yeah.
He must have been tall that had to wear that. I know what.
The Brood. We had Al Snow and Too Cold Scorpio beating Brian Christopher and Scott Taylor when Snow pinned Taylor. Mark Merrow pinned Darren Drop.
Job Squad. Do you remember when they were the Job Squad?
How could I forget? I had one
they
of their t-shirts.
They were supposed to do jobs. They pulled people in small packages for too long and steal the win and go against the script.
Yeah.
I wonder who thought that up. Somebody that's unemployed right now.
No, Al still works for CNA.
Well, he might as well be unemployed.
Yeah, pretty much. Mark Merrill
had to put all that money to go on live, and they're going to have to cut the budget.
Yeah, that's going to be a disaster. Justin Bradshaw and Vader in a Falls Count Anywhere match. I bet you they hit each other really hard in this match. I don't remember it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this was Vader's final match in WWF. He just couldn't be what he was like in WCW in Japan and WWF.
Yeah.
I mean, he had some okay matches with, like, Undertaker and Shawn and Bret Hart and stuff, but wasn't a monster like he was.
Yeah.
No. Not even in the monster that he was in WCW. Unfortunately.
Yep.
D'Lo pinned Gangrel in, wow, can't even imagine this match. By the way, ran into D'Lo at the TNA show a few weeks ago. He has put on a few pounds. I'll leave it at that. Rocky Maivia beat Ken Shamrock and Mankind in a steel cage triple threat match.
This is actually an awesome match. And it's
Shamrock.
Also like a continue where like everyone hated Rocky Maivia until he did the doubles, people double, and then they went crazy for him, and then they went back to hating him again.
Yeah, this was when he was starting to get over as a baby face.
Mm-hmm. So I think that was the main event of the show because I don't see them following it up.
No, it was on Steve Austin against Taker and Kane in a triple threat where, you know, they had the double pin where Kane and Taker both laid on top of him and pinned him.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Had to hold up the title, and Vince McMahon ran off with the title and gave him the finger. And then the next night, he got in a, when Kane and Undertaker broke his ankle the next night on Raw, when Steve Austin rammed the Zamboni into the ring and did a clothesline off the Zamboni over the top.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Love that. Awesome. We also move on Rock.
Why does this say the one match with Billy Gunn, Jesse James, and Xbox beat Jeff Jarrett, Dennis Knight, and Mark Cannonberry? Were they not? Did they change their names for that match or something? Or are they just trying to put their shoot names on it for some reason?
Remember they were Southern Justice.
Hmm.
Remember when they had them come out in the suits with Tennessee Lee? They were called Southern Justice. They changed from the Godwins.
Yep.
I barely remember that.
The next one was another one I was at. It was Rock Bottom in Vancouver, B.C., December 13, 1988.
You missed another one.
Awesome. Go ahead, Katrina.
Do you remember, I can't remember the name of the show.
Oh, was it, way to go, sir.
Was it the Owen Hart one, or?
This is the one where Steve Austin was referee for Kane and Taker. Remember when they were fighting for the vacant title, and he wouldn't count anybody down, and Vince fired him?
Hold on.
The next night, Vince wet his pants.
When he kidnapped him?
Yeah, when you kidnapped him.
That was awesome. That was one of the best Raws ever.
I can't believe I can't remember the name of the show.
Oh.
No Mercy, maybe. Maybe No Mercy.
Is that the one was that the very first ladder match with the Hardys and Edge and Christian?
No, that was the next year.
Okay.
I remember on the show also there was like the stupidest finish I've ever seen, where Ken Shamrock had Mankind in the ankle lock. So Mankind just gave himself a mandible claw, so he passed out.
I remember that. That was awesome.
It was called Judgment Day.
Judgment Day, that's it.
Judgment Day. It was October of 98. And then we went into Rock Bottom with Stone Cold and Undertaker in a Buried Alive match.
Yeah, that match sucked.
Yeah, that was no good. And I drove all the way to Canada to see it. Yeah, that was no good. Notables on this one, the WWF lightweight champion, Dwayne Gill. Yes, one Gilbert pinned Matt Hardy in the opener.
He was awesome, dude.
New Age Outlaws beat Farouk and Bradshaw and Fourth from the Top. We had Mark Henry and D'Lo beating The Godfather and Val Venus, Wacky Wacky Pee Pee, or Choppy Choppy Pee Pee, I'm sorry. we had the Headbangers beating the Oddities, Kurgan and Golga, when Mosh pinned Golga. Steve Blackman.
This was horrible so far.
Yeah, this was no good. I remember being very upset that we drove all the way up there. Steve Blackman beat Owen Hart, a travesty if I've ever read one. Edge, Christian, and Gangrel beat Al Snow, Scorpio, and Bob Holly. Goldust beat Jeff Jarrett. New Age Outlaws beat Bossman and Ken Shamrock.
And this was back when WWF was winning the war.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this was no good.
A disc collection, man. It tells you how shitty WCW was.
Mankind beat Rocky Maivia via submission. However, Maivia retained the belt due to a reversal by Vince McMahon. And as I said, in the main event, we had a Buried Alive match, which always suck. And that was Austin.
That title match was so stupid. That title match was so stupid. You had Mankind, they put the mandible claw, and Rocky had passed out and called for the bell, and they thought they had a new champion, but Vince said he can only win on a pinfall or submission, and he was knocked
That's
out.
Right. Can't argue with that. And what I really need to go, fellas, but this was the last one, St. Valentine's Day Massacre, February 14th. What better way to spend your Valentine's Day than to get your loved one and sit on the couch and watch wrestling? February 14th, 1999, Memphis, Tennessee. Of course, we had Brian Christopher and Scott Taylor beating Matt and Jeff Hardy in the opener. We had Viscera beating Test. Billy Gunn, no contested, won Tiger Ali Singh.
Well, there's no contest. What happened?
I don't know. I think probably Tiger hit him with his sword. Maybe Tiger attacked him with his sword or whatever, or something.
Maybe Babu interfered.
Maybe he did. Match number four was Gold Dust pinning Blue Dust.
Oh, God.
Big happy birthday to the Blue. Big happy birthday, 39 years old, to the Blue Meanie today. Bob Holly pinned Al Snow to win the vacant WWF.
Awesome.
Yeah,
to win the Mississippi River.
The vacant WWF hardcore title. Let me get this out. Match number six, the Big Boss Man defeated Midian. I wonder how he's doing after his car crash. We haven't heard anything about him.
Who, Henry Godwin?
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't heard anything from him in a while. WWF Tag Team Champions Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett beat Mark Henry and D'Lo Brown when Jarrett forced Mark Henry to submit, if you can believe that. Val Venus pinned Kevin Shamrock to win the WWF IC title. I'm sorry. Val Venus pinned Ken Shamrock. I'm trying to hurry because I need to get out the door.
Okay.
Kane and China beat Hunter Helmsley and X-Pac when China pinned Helmsley. WWF World Champion Rocky Mankind, no contested Rocky Maivia in a last man standing match. And the big one, Stone Cold Steve Austin beat Vince McMahon in a steel cage match.
When Paul White came out from under the ring and threw him through the cage.
That's right. I got to go, guys.
Okay.
You guys finish the show. Thanks a lot. Come back next week. What do we got going next week? We got that guy on, right?
What guy?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah. Somebody go get that guy. All right. I got to fly. I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Right.
Take care.
Thank you. Craig's always having something else to do, you know. How dare he have a family life when we're trying to have a podcast? It's something unprofessional. So what else is going on? I guess we're through with this. What else is happening, sir?
Not too much.
Not too much. Anything you want to talk about?
Nope.
Why do you think people are going so crazy about Raw going to 3 hours? I mean,
I don't know, because they need some bitch about it, I guess.
I mean, if it's that much trouble to watch the third hour of wrestling, just don't watch it or just quit watching
wrestling.
That's
what I do. I tune into Raw an hour after the show started on my DVR so I can fast forward through stuff. And they ain't taking not like I watch anything at 7 o'clock anyway, so... You know, if they want to get it started early, I'm not going to, I don't care.
I enjoy
sorry,
about
people
it.
Think they're
actually...
forced to watch the fucking show in the first place.
I mean,
like
I
the world ended yesterday.
The what?
I said that everybody's acting like the fucking world ended yesterday.
Oh, I know, right? They have to watch three. They have to watch another hour or something supposedly they are a fan of.
I don't know.
But yeah, you're right. It's just another reason for people to bitch about.
Everybody's too negative lately.
And I know you don't follow. I know you don't follow the MMA side of the thing. But what do you think about Dana White cutting the promo on Dave Meltzer? And
that's
have you
so
seen
stupid.
It?
What it was like Dave's the reason that Yahoo laid people off. Like he's a bad business person. Yahoo had problems, and they had to downsize some people. And he's Dave Meltzer's fucking fault as a businessman.
I know, right? They basically let every single person go except for Kevin Ioli, who's been there who's like the base fat boxing reporter for like ever. So I mean, that was kind of fucked up.
He sounded like a jackass when he's talking about it.
And then he doesn't even read. He's just going on what people told him because he didn't read the article because his big defense was the Avengers was opening that weekend. And fucking Dave talked about it in the article. He's one of the reasons why. You know, it's like... But But at least he was nice enough to call Dave. He's like, hey, just going to call and let you know I'm going to talk all kinds of mad shit about you. Oh, man, that's funny, though. But, yeah, he did make himself look kind of stupid if you actually know what, like, Dave actually wrote and stuff. But I asked this question on my Facebook wall, who's the bigger douchebag after this week, and it was either Dana White or Gabe Sapolsky. Where Gabe Sapolsky's tirade about, you know, basically he makes this big tirade against ROH because of the problems they had. And, you know, the whole purpose is please watch Dragon Gate USA or Evolve, you know, basically.
Well, I said also say one of the reasons and something that Dave talked about was, And this is true from, you know, from everything that I saw and from my opinion, you know, that stuff with the eye pay-per-view, that could affect others' eye pay-per-views because people aren't going to trust it, you know, from another company getting an eye pay-per-view or something like that. It gives eye pay-per-view a bad name, I think is what the thing was.
Yeah, I guess, but I mean, it's not like it's their fault. I mean, it was like a, you know, it's just kind of out of the hands. And then, like, they just had some seriously bad luck. I mean, the shit in Florida, which was not their fault at all, more had to do with, like, the internet and the weather in Florida and shit, so.
It was their fault, like, for the last weekend because they didn't have a server big enough to handle it. You got to anticipate stuff like that, I guess.
Yeah. And then... But this actually a good sign though, because it actually shows that there are a lot of people who were wanting to buy it, you know. So,
but they might not do it now. I mean, I wouldn't get the next one. Although they're giving it away free for those who bought it, huh? Bought this one?
Yeah, so, yeah, they're giving it away free. So I mean, if everything runs good, I mean, it could be like, you know, if everything runs good, I'm sure those people will give them a second chance. But, you know, just how many people take the time to actually watch it. But if I knew I could watch it for free, I'd watch it. Even if I was pissed off at them.
I thought that guy got like a cease and desist order or something.
That's fucking hilarious. But he fucking went on that big tirade and, you know, and then, you know, when he made it, he put his response after he got. Because, you know, Gabe, he can't handle criticism. So he gets all fucking bent out of shape when he gets criticized about it. And then he realized, oh, yeah, I pretty much admit that yes, I am a douchebag. I should have talked about my own product instead of going on a tirade about, you know, some other company that fired me a few weeks ago. So,
and at least he doesn't have Scott Steiner yelling at him on Twitter. He's been yelling at Hogan and Bischoff, and they're getting there. I don't know what their lawyers can do about it. I mean, it's not like he's still saying anything that ain't true.
Right.
He's been going nuts on that Twitter. Have you seen that?
I haven't really read everything he's had, but I keep hearing how he's fucking shit.
He talked about how, and this was even before the announcement that Brooke was going to TNA, like last week, he said something about TNA hired Brooke Hogan or something, and Brooke Hogan, being the genius that she is, comes back with the response, I can make more money lying on my back than you ever make in the wrestling business. I guess that's supposed to be a put down or something. You can make more money as a prostitute. I don't know. Don't sound right.
Well, I'd pay her a few pennies to fucking get on top of her when she's laying on her back.
I'm sure people at TNA and backstage are thrilled to be having to work with her.
Right? No kidding. Yeah, well.
I didn't even watch the TNA pay-per-view last weekend.
You didn't?
I just didn't see the point in it anymore. Waste my money. And it actually happened to be a good show, so. You know, of course, the one I missed is the one that's good.
Right.
Are you watching the one this weekend?
No, I was at work, so I didn't see it. But
I'm just streaming the weekend. Are you watching the WWF show?
Tomorrow?
Sunday.
Sunday, yeah. I'm supposed to go to work, so. I'm probably going to work. I've actually gotten, like, off. Like, I've actually missed, like, here and there, like, a few times. And they've actually not been dicks about it. So I don't want to push my luck. Especially because I'm gonna fuck them on my vacation, too, coming up. Because, you know, because I'm a Teamster. They basically, they have, if I miss a day of work, they have 10 working days to write me up, right? So when I go to Vegas, I'm going the weekend after July 4th. So I wanted to take that weekend off, that whole week of July 4th, but there was like already a couple people already had it, you know, because I had picked May before. So when I was trying to switch it, they wouldn't let me have that one. So I got the next 2 weeks, right? So we're off on the day before the 4th of July, and then I'm supposed to work two more days before, you know, for the rest of that week. But that's when I'm going to Vegas. So I'm just going to miss those 2 days, right? And then I'm off for 2 weeks, so that's 10 working days. So when I come back, they can't do anything about me missing, like, the starting of my vacation 2 days earlier. So I'm going to be cool till that. That way, you know, I don't get in any trouble before.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I'll probably miss it, but I'll probably be checking my... actually, what I'm going to do is one of the websites that I stream shit on, my phone can actually pick up. So I'm going to try and listen to it. We get kind of busy on Sundays, so I probably might not work out. But, yeah, I'm going to try and at least listen to it while I'm working Sunday. I actually did that for the one, what was it, the Elimination Chamber. I actually was able to listen to that while I was working. I remember marking out for that Tino and the Cobra even, and I was getting my ass kicked.
Can't wait to see John Cena and John Laurinaitis.
I'm sure it'll be a good match. What did you think of the Big Show fucking segment?
It made me hate John Laurinaitis.
I thought it was awesome. I mean, the way that every time, especially the way the Big Show would sell it, so like he'd really like do it real slow about whether he was going to go to his knee or whatever, and the crowd was just fucking going crazy. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was a great segment.
And unlike everybody else, I think he's probably going to get involved in the finish or something. And turn on John Cena, something like that.
It should, but you know how they are. It'll probably end up being 10-side because they'll be like, everyone thinks it's the Big Show, so it can't be the Big Show.
Well, they also got the thing where if anybody interferes, they get fired, so I don't know how they're going to do
that. That's true.
And since he's technically already been fired, they can't fire him again, so I guess he could help John Laurinaitis win, and then John Laurinaitis would give him his job back.
They could also have Brock come and kill him, and then have like Triple H kind of like try to run out and make the save, and then get killed again instead of him and Brock.
Mm-hmm. I've enjoyed Paul Heyman's return. He's been pretty good.
Yeah, he's been pretty good. He's always been awesome. So I mean, you know, it's good to have him around because you can't have Brock on every show.
I figured he was going to come in sooner or later when they signed Brock.
Yeah. But yeah, he's been good. I mean.
Looking forward to CM Punk and Daniel Bryan Sunday.
Yeah, I hope they get him like 25, 30 minutes. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah. It'd be cool. They'd let Bryan even win.
There's talks that they may have. I mean, I've heard talks that they could do that.
Yeah. It'd be like having AJ kind of screw over CM Punk or something. But,
Maybe they're going to take out that Twitter post he made and make him drop the title. Now,
which Twitter post
did he make? Kill themselves on Twitter.
What did he put?
He was talking about like gay marriage or something, and somebody posted on his Twitter how it was wrong and against God or something, and he told the person to go kill themselves.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And later he went back and apologized. But still.
That's funny. But okay, what else do we have to talk about here? We still got like 15 minutes.
I don't know.
I am trying to think. Not too much has been going on, really. I guess we could go ahead. Let me drop the.
Are you gonna watch Sergeant Drew? Are you gonna start watching TNA? If it's gonna be live every week?
Not really. I don't see what difference it makes to me. Really, I mean.
I probably watch it just because normally I read the spoilers, and then if I get spoilers on anything, normally I just don't even bother watching. So
I've gotten to the point where I just barely even glance at the spoilers, even if I do, you know.
But sometimes the spoilers are so fucking out of whack, by the time the show actually airs, you forgot what you read. So that's a plus.
And I would rather listen to Brian Benny talk about Impact than actually watch Impact.
Yeah. Well, the reviews have gotten too positive for me. That's why I stopped listening.
No more adrenaline flushes for a while?
I don't know. I got to do some of that stuff in Brian Vinny rewinds for last year. I just got so much stuff I've been doing, I spread myself too thin. I just don't hardly have time to do any stuff anymore, you know?
Yeah. You need to make a best of this show. Sometimes.
Maybe one day.
But everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows. So everyone check out AngryMarks.com. And just trying to think. It was something I wanted to talk about, but I can't even fucking think about what it is.
Did you go see the Avengers?
Not yet. I've been kind of broke. I've been like fucking broke off my ass the last 2 weeks, and I probably won't really get out of it till next week. But, yeah, I'm probably going to see it. I'm going to try and save a couple bucks this weekend and go see it maybe Monday or Tuesday during the day at the IMAX. So don't tell me anything about the movie yet.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, you haven't seen it? Yeah, but now I plan to. I mean, I've been wanting to see it for a while.
I'm not a movie goer. I don't like going to the movies for some reason.
Yeah, I've never really been a big fan, but I went with, when Peach was here in town, we went to go see Revenge of the Titans, and which is a stupid movie.
Wrath of the Titans.
One of them.
Wrath of the Titans. It was a sequel to Clash of the Titans.
Yeah, it's a sequel to Clash of the Titans, yeah. It fucking actually kind of sucks, but if you see it in 3D IMAX, it's fucking like, you know what I mean? I mean, the videos are just make up for the movie being shitty. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I want to go see it like that. But, yeah, I've been broke off my ass. I mean, I got a funny story. I don't know. Did I tell this story last week? That's talking about my Jeep. No, we didn't do a show last week.
Didn't do a show last week.
Okay, well, I got a funny story. I had some extra money I had to spend that wasn't really planning to, but anyway, I throw the newspapers after I get out of UPS. So I went Friday morning, I went to show my newspapers. And I guess the papers got there late, so the parking lot was kind of full. So right next door, there's this spice factory where they make, like, spices or whatever. And it's just a little parking lot, and there's two trailers parked to the side. Well, I went, got all my paper shit, I'm taking off, and I'm backing up, and I'm trying to put on my phone, I'm trying to put on the Brian and Vinny show. So I'm having a little trouble doing it, so I'm just slowly backing up, and I finally get the show on, and then all of a sudden I hear, and I fucking backed up into the corner of one of those trailers and smashed out of my back window.
Oh, shit.
So I was like, and I was just barely moving, but that, like, it shattered everything. So I pull up, I'm like, oh, fuck me, man. So I'm like, so I didn't let myself get too mad about it. I just kind of, like, ended up laughing about it. So I'm doing, it's funny, though, because I'm doing the paper out, and every time I hit a bump or speed bump, you hear more glass. Bob, the whole fucking paper out. Every time, you know, any little thing, dude, you hear the glass start breaking off, and it was all fucked up. I remember I had it, and then, like, for a couple of days I went without a window. I actually got lucky because I was like, I didn't really know, like, I was figuring if I went to go buy it, because it's one of those windows that's got defroster lines on it. It's got the windshield wiper actually goes through the window. It's not like on the door, it's in through the window. So I'm like, fuck, this is going to cost me $600-$700. So at first I was like, fuck, I'll just call the, you know, cops and make it an extra report if they someone fucking broke it or something. But then I take my deductible. My deductible is $500. So, that you know, they really worth like $100 or $200 worth it to have my rates go up. So I was like, fuck, can't do that. But then, like, my mom told me she had, like, a her front windshield on her car had cracked. And she had some guys that lived down the street. I totally forgot about this. Fix it for her. Like, he works at a glass shop, and he just did it on the side. So I actually got the whole thing done for $315, which is probably, like, less than half of what it would have cost me if I would have actually gone to, like, the glass, you know, the glass store or whatever. So it wasn't too bad, but fuck, it saved those $300, you know, out of the blue for just being stupid and fucking not paying attention when I was fucking just backing up. And there was plenty of space. I mean, it was just totally my fault for being fucking stupid for not paying attention.
My grandmother drove through the window of the drugstore one time.
well, at least I didn't do that.
In reverse, and she had it in drive, and she went right through the window. Had to buy shitload of Valentine's Day candy because she went through, she destroyed it.
You remember when there was like for like a year or two, there was a bunch of accidents where old people were like, just like the car just like shot out in front of them. And shit. It's like, South Park even made like an episode about it.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, it's funny because they're like, you know, the old people, they all go to, they'd all go eat at like a country town buffet or something.
No.
So when they would leave, you know, it'd be dark, so it'd be all dangerous, and they'd play all this, like, scary music. And everyone's, like, running and hiding. There's, like, a guy, he's on a boat in the river fucking fishing. And one of the old people comes flying off the bridge and kill him and shit. It was actually pretty funny. But, yeah, so I fucking had that bill. And then I paid everything for Vegas off, pretty much. I mean, I paid our airfare, I paid fucking our hotel, and yeah, it was pretty fucking good. I mean, it was a pretty penny. So yeah, I've been broke like a fucking joke for like a couple weeks.
And WrestleMania and the convention seems a little too close together.
Well, this year we had a bit of a break because you know, usually it'd be going on in a week or two, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have been able to pay everything off, but I'd have absolutely no money to take. So now I got like at least about six, seven more weeks to save up and have spending cash over there, which, you know, that's plenty of time. I shouldn't have no problem. But, yeah, it's going to be a good trip. Good story. Loser ass needs to make it out there one day.
I know.
And shit. But, yeah, we fucking, you know, every year we have, like, a suite, and Mr. Sturheil, like, usually gets us for free, but he couldn't get it for free this year, so I was, like, I had everyone pitch it for donations so we could get it for one night, and then I was thinking, this is actually, like, the perfect place to stay, because I'm actually taking a Bull Barbecue Center going, so it's, like, I wouldn't take the other 2 days and shit, so that was a... That was a pretty penny, but we got this, like, giant, like, 900-square-foot, two-bedroom suite with a balcony. And then it's got, like, this giant... It used to be, like, renovated apartments or condos.
Mm-hmm.
So the swimming pool, it's got a pretty big-ass swimming pool and shit. So we're going to have, like, a pool party and barbecue there. And it should be pretty awesome. But yeah, so it'll be an awesome trip. But yeah, it's just like I said, I ain't got money for nothing to do for like until next week.
Is there a big UFC show that weekend or something?
Yeah, that's the weekend we go. That's when Shel Sonnen has the rematch of Anderson Silva. So that'll be like the biggest UFC pay per view in a long time.
And Peach is going to be competing in something that weekend, right?
Yeah, they're having like for that show is so big, they're having like a UFC Fan Expo, which is like the WC Fan Access.
Uh-huh.
And then they have like a grappler, it's called Grappler's Quest. And Peach is doing two of them on Friday. So.
Well, don't sign Nick Diaz to show up.
All right. I'm joking. No, it's funny. But yeah, Peaches.
I don't follow MMA, but I do know Nick Diaz and Alistair Overeem were a couple of fuck ups.
Yeah. Overeem especially. I mean, when Dave finally told the story about how he ran out of the press conference, took his getaway vehicle and just took off, I mean, that's fucking hilarious.
I thought it was funny on the show the other night when Dave said the floor at the hotel smelled like the Diaz brothers.
That's fucking hilarious. I'm surprised Brian
he
didn't make any comments.
He's like Sid Vicious or somebody like that. He just ain't going to show up.
I'm surprised Brian didn't make any comments because there was like one time where I went. I think it was a Brock Lesnar Randy Couture fight. And Brian actually roomed with me on that Vegas trip. So I was smoking out big time. And Brian, I'm surprised Brian didn't make any comments about that because it overpowered him a couple times. Yeah, to like take off big stick and leave the room for a while. But yeah, but I guess we can go ahead and wrap up here.
Okay.
Anything else you want to talk about?
No, I'm fixing to go eat me some pork chops and some corn on the cob.
That sounds good.
Yep.
I wish I had some money to go buy something, but I don't. So I guess I'm just going to go in the kitchen and see if I can cook something up here. But anyway, everyone come back next week. I know what Craig was talking about. Like, I had made mention that I got like an idea for a future show, meaning in the near future. And I guess Craig expects me to sign it for next week. But it'll actually be a good show when we do get it. But I'm going to wait till the guy's book actually comes out. That way it's, you know.
Well,
you know
maybe
I mean?
We can get the show settled like as early as we did this week.
Like what?
I think it was Tuesday Monday or Tuesday we finally got to decide what we're going to do for the show. Usually it's at like midnight on Thursday or something like that.
There are times when I don't even hear from either one of you guys, and I just throw something together like at the last second. I'm like, what the fuck are we going to talk about? But yeah, it was weird. And then I totally forgot we were going an hour early. If I wouldn't have gone on the board and saw how Craig posted that if the show was actually an hour earlier, I would have been an hour late for the show.
And that'd have been fucked up because I didn't even have my computer on here, so I couldn't even see the switchboard to like see if you were on or not. So it was just like pure luck that I took a chance on that you were gonna actually be on at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, so we had a catastrophe averted, but yeah. But we'll go ahead and wrap up the show, and everyone will come back next week, and we will talk to everybody then.
All right.
So be the man! You gotta beat the man! You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Memphis shit! Let's go hook him up!
Oh, shit.